chapter 12, Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. I will begin to read from Ecclesiastes and chapter 11, verse 9 through to verse 8. Ecclesiastes and chapter 11, I begin to read from verse 9 through to 12, verse 8. Rejoice, all you young men, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dim, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one raises up at the sound of a bed, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshoppers drag itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's just seek the Lord as we seek to open up the scriptures. Our Father who is in heaven, as we quieten ourselves before your throne, we do realize that we are in need. Men and women, boys and girls, who need counsel from above. And therefore, Lord, as your word comes to our hearing, we pray that by your Spirit, you might open our ears. By your Spirit, you might open our hearts to receive your word with gladness. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to give one statement about the book of Ecclesiastes, I would say that the scope of this book is a contrast. It is a contrast of human pursuit. Human pursuit as an end in itself, as a satisfaction in itself, and the pursuit of wisdom as the most important thing that satisfies. This morning, what I want to bring to you is that verse in chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you would say, I have no pleasure in them. I want to call this as a friendly advice to the young people who are graduating. I want to say that most probably you have heard what I'm going to say, but I would ask once again that you might lend me your ear just for this one moment. This is an exhortation that, in fact, is an imperative, is a command from Solomon when he says, remember. It is not that he is asking for an option. He is saying this is a must. You must remember. You must remember your Creator in the days of your youth. This whole text comes in the context when Solomon has already said in verse 9, giving this exhortation once again to the young, he says, rejoice, verse 9 and 11, chapter 11 and verse 9, when he says, rejoice. Young man, young woman, boy and girl, rejoice, Solomon says. But as you rejoice, as you gladden your heart, as you have pleasure in this world, as you have fun in this world, one of the things that should not leave your mind is this: to remember. To remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because, dear friend, as I'll be saying, if you do not remember the Creator in the days when you are young, you'll be frustrated in this life. You will be frustrated in this life. You will face pain upon pain in this way, in this life. And therefore, I'm calling this as a friendly advice. As you bid farewell to Eagle's Nest School, this is my friendly advice, an exhortation, a command, an imperative, a must-do thing. I want to state firstly the object of remembrance. Who are you to remember? Notice the text tells us, remember also your Creator. The object of our remembrance is God the Creator. The object of our remembrance is the one who fashioned you, who shaped you in your mother's womb. The object of your remembrance, as Psalm 139 and verse 13 puts it, He who formed you in the inner parts, He who knit you together in your mother's womb. The one who you are to remember is He who made you in His own image. The object of our remembrance is the one who made all things, including ourselves as yours, including everybody seated here. Obviously, as I'll be saying, the mention of God as Creator is very deliberate. It's very deliberate. And in my reasons to remember, I will mention why it is specifically mentioned that you must remember God as Creator. But secondly, Notice that Solomon is not only telling us the object of remembrance, but also the meaning of remembrance. Notice negatively that this is an assumption, first and foremost. If Solomon is saying remember, then obviously he assumes and he knows that you will forget. You will forget the object of remembrance. And reasons can be supplied, can be humble. But I want to say that in this world, dear young person, in this world, dear young youth, there are so many distractions or detractors. Your own success from primary to secondary school can be a detractor to remembering God who fashioned you. Your own progress in life can be a big barrier. And therefore Solomon says, remember this object of remembrance, God himself, because first and foremost you can forget. But also remember the meaning of this remembrance. It is from the assumption that you, like myself, even though you are young, you have a corrupt heart. You are sinful, dear friend. Do not think you are young and therefore excluded from evil and sin. You must remember because of sin that resides in your heart. That can easily take away the thinking about this God and the picture of this Creator who made you. Neither is Solomon saying that this remembrance is to be a casual recollection of this God. You see, if I asked an average Zambian whether they remember their God, you know what I would get from them is obviously, who doesn't remember God? Well, that's not what Solomon means, that casual thinking about God. Solomon does not mean if you sit in this pew, then you have remembered your Creator in the days of your youth or in your days of your life. It does not mean that since I have bowed my head to pray at a meal, then I have remembered the Creator in the days of my youth or in my days as a human being. It may include that, but not necessarily what he meant. You know what I found out of late? That a Sunday service is packed, an evening service is not packed. Most of us attend church as a means of appeasing ourselves, or as we say in Bemba, ukuchongesha. All right, my name is ticked, present Sunday morning, off to my business. Now that is casual. You ought to realize that that is casual remembrance of this Creator. There's a young person, a boy at church who's very exciting, about 2 or 3 years. When I am done with preaching, this is the first question he asks his father. Daddy, is the church service over, the dad whispers to him, yes, but remember to greet pastor. Because he can't wait. He can't wait to run around. He is itching as you are talking. He's saying, when is it going to be through? As soon as it's like this lion or dog which is about to charge, when you let them go, it is zooming off. In other words, whatever you are saying, look, I came because of dad. That is casual. Remembrance of this. But let me put it positively. Positively, the original word to remember is to recollect, is to think, is to bring to mind, to bring to memory, is to keep in your mind this Creator. It is the same word that is used in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, when the Lord is saying that remember the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt into this promised land. It is the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, when we are told to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we sit around the Lord's table to break bread. It is a form of celebrating. It's a form of commemorate this Creator. This remembrance, dear friend, dear young person, is very deliberate and purposeful. It is an effort to bring to memory this Creator. It will never come like your teeth when you are still, when you're entering eagle's nest as you are taught, as a toddler. You're wondering that your teeth were growing. No effort at all. This is deliberate. Let me put it this way. If I stand there and your service is over and you are going out and you said to me or to anybody else, we've been thinking about you. You know, I'll smile. Because I've never received any SMS from you or a call or a visit. You've been thinking about you. It's an effort. If you've been thinking about this God, you will recollect in your mind and it will send you into action. This is the idea of remembrance. It is as you think, as you bring to memory, as you keep this God into your memory, it sends you to action. In other words, the remembrance is not only a thought thing, but it is an action-oriented thing. Well, let me quote Paul Washer. And I think I love the definition of this remembrance because it captures everything. He says these words, it is a radical, this command to remember is radical, it is life-changing command to know and understand the God of Scripture, to acknowledge His preeminence in all things, to seek His glory, in all things and to strive to obey him in all things. It is a radical and life-changing command to know and understand the God of Scripture, to acknowledge his primacy in all things, to seek his glory in all things, to strive to obey him in all things. Let me put it this way. Dear friend, you will not remember this God, first and foremost, the God who has made you, if you don't know him. Probably that's why you have not called me, because you don't know me. But if you have come to know this God, if you have come to understand this God in his person, in his character, that he is a gracious and loving God, that is a God of justice, a God of truth, a God of wisdom and goodness, you will to strive to remember him. Dear friend, if you have come to know his goodness, especially in the love of God and mercy through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will remember this. You will. You will. What I know is that as you graduate, there are people that you never forget, most likely in your life. The teacher you may forget. The guardian who supplied all that you needed, you never can forget. Well, some of us, yes, you remember your teachers, but the guardian, your parents, because there's a relationship. There is a relationship. I mean, that's why all of us, especially Zambians and Africans, we always say that our parents are the second God in the court. We always remember them. Whatever we do, we supply needs for them. We have a relationship. That's a point. You will not remember this God if there is no relationship with him. But the remembrance also, in the words of Washer, as I open up that definition, he is basically saying, look, God is your creator. You are the creature. You are not self-sufficient. Therefore, think about who made you. He is the supreme God who is not your equal. For there is nothing in this world that was made that we see, whether invisible or visible, that was not made by God. Therefore, as you begin to forget him, drop that thought of saying, you made yourself. Drop it. See, if you know this God in that sense, you always raise him up in all things that you do. I like the song that you sang. He is more than silver, Lord God.
Young people, we sang it.
He is more than silver, oh God. To me, that's what you are singing.
If you don't know him, you will not strive to seek his glory. The pursuit will be for your own enrichment, your own gain, your own appetites in this life.
Neither will you seek to obey him. Because who is he? I can provide for myself. I wait. I have the brains. I study hard, you'll be saying. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. In John 15, he says his words. And I quote them. You are my friends if you do what I command you. In other words, if you don't, you cannot claim that you know me. The object of remembrance is God. The meaning of remembrance is to recollect in our memory. Is to radically know him and understand him. Is to seek his supremacy, his glory, and to obey him. But thirdly, notice the time of remembrance. The scripture says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. When should you remember this God who has made you? Scripture says, Solomon says, in the days of your youth, in the convenient days when you are young. In the time of ability, in the time when you are at full capacity, as someone has said, with all the cylinders firing, it's a time of the choices. You are to remember this God. As someone has put it, in the time of cream and flour. When you are blossoming. And you are at your best. This notion of saying that, look, I must do everything in this world. Then right at the end of life, I will call upon God. Because I must enjoy life. No, friend. You will never enjoy life, I've put it to you, without remembering this God. It will be frustration. It will be pain. It will be sorrowful. You must remember this God. In the time of strength, in the time of great ambition and determination as a young person, Charles Bridges put it this way. When he says that great justice not only commands us to remember God, but it is telling us the most convenient time to do so in the time of youth. It is a radical notion. It is a ridiculous notion, he says, found in the heads of many young people, that one should delay living for God until late in life. And usually after a great portion of life has been wasted. Do not be like the prodigal son, he says, who came to his senses only after squandering his future and the strength of his youth. Come, he says, to your senses. In your early days of life, set your heart to seek God. Know him, worship him, save him, and rejoice in his goodness in the days of your youth. Obviously, let me state and say that Solomon is not saying that youth is a time of remembrance, then afterwards you are at liberty to forget God. The tense there is continuous tense. In other words, the thought of God must be sought now in the days of your youth, never to be forgotten, and to guard it. Throughout your life, right to the old age, right to your old age. Notice. Notice fourthly and lastly. The object of remembrance is God. The meaning of remembrance is to seek him while you are young. The time of remembrance, it is now in your energies. Notice the reason of remembrance. Why should I remember God? Notice scripture says, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Notice verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern. I want to state firstly a number of things under this head. Firstly, is that you must remember this creator in the days of your youth, because he is infinitely worthy to be remembered, because he is your creator, we have stated. You did not bring yourself into existence. God brought you into existence. And therefore God demands that you do not live for yourself, for your own pleasure, for your own appetite. Those energies that you have, those abilities that God has endowed you with, must be given to God at the time of their peak. You must hold nothing from the one who made you. But notice secondly, the reason of remembrance. Dear friends, as we read right from verse 9 of chapter 11, going through the whole text to 12 and going right to the end, this is what you seem to get. Is that true happiness in this life depends on remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. If you remove him from your life, I've already stated, it may seem as if it is fun to rejoice without him. But would you call it fun when it has left you with unwanted pregnancy? Will you call it fun when it has left you with disease? Will you call it fun when you are at loggerheads like Amnon, and Absalom, who would never see each other eye to eye because of their sister being defiled. Would you call it fun? True happiness, therefore, at stake depends on God in remembering this Creator while you are still young. Friend, if I can open the hearts of many seated here, young people, and see them show you the regrets of life, they will tell you, "Oh, I wish I had listened." Most of the older folks probably seated here are nursing wounds of what life has in stock if you do not have God in your mind and in your life. I should hasten to say also, even those that come to faith in Jesus Christ in later years, they will tell you, I wish I was a Christian when I was young. Because they will look at wasted years, fruitful. Years that are supposed to be fruitful. We are given away to the devil, away to passion, away to the world. Reason of remembrance. Thirdly, is that the youth is formative life. Youth is a formative period of life. This is a period when you are developing. This is a period when you are downloading into your memory card all sorts of stuff. Once you have downloaded what you can, you will not format that disk, that hard disk. Dear friend, this is formative years. And the most time you will acquire a life of godliness is this time, dear friend. You read about scripture, we read about David. It is when he was young that he would say, "The Lord will fight for me. I know him." If you miss these formative years, and advance in years, as Solomon would put it, when the days of evil come, when you have no pleasure. Even what I'm saying, I'm speaking, will be an insult to hear in the days when you have advanced. You'll be telling yourself, "Can't he see that I have a match to watch? Can't you see that I must go and finish my plot?" The good news of Jesus Christ will never have an impression on your heart. The formative years are tender years. Years when your heart is tender to listen. We've done outreach back at where we are doing church plant. Rarely would you have a guy tell you, "Look, I don't need to hear you." But we have such instances. I remember going with a young man and we are speaking. This young man, we knock on the gate and he comes out. And as we began to introduce ourselves, The father notices the guy who went has taken time because we have already started engaging this young man. The father comes out and says, "What's going on?" We say, "Well, we are from IDEX Baptist Church. We are reaching out." He says, no, look. Thank you very much. We don't need this." I thought he was saying, I asked, "Any other time?" He says, no, not even any other time. I thought he said, "You can come later." So I said, "When?" No, I said, "No, you didn't get me." No. You could see that their heart has set in the concrete of life. And the man is not willing to waver. These are formative years, dear friend. What you will be now, whether godly child, God-fearing child, depends on what you put in now. If you don't know God now, do you think you will know Him then? When the years of evil have set in, that is why Proverbs would say we must train our children so that they should not depart from this God when they are advanced in years, when they are grown. Because these are formative years. It's years when we can mold that soft clay. But when the sun has set, that's it. Humanly speaking, that's it. The reason why Solomon says, "You must remember the Creator in the days of your youth." Fourthly, it is because this is the most convenient time, as I've stated already. This is a time when you can easily remember God. I will tell you why. It is a blissful time. It is a time of little worry in this world for you young people. All you worry is to take your books, wear your uniform, and wait for the car to drop you at school. You do not worry where the money is coming from. You do not worry how you will pay your rent in this world. When anybody is sick, well, it crosses your mind, but you have little concern. And therefore, Solomon says, this is a blissful time for you to remember this God. The time of pain is coming. The time of hardship is coming. When you will not be interested in godly matters. When you have so many things competing with your time. Therefore, Solomon says, this is the convenient time, easy time, to remember this Creator. Now, let me state lastly, the reason of remembrance of this God. Because one day you'll die. That's why I read verse 6. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden board is broken, or the pitcher is shut, before you close your eyelids in death, you must remember this God. You must remember this God. The description of what we get in Ecclesiastes is that of a process of a young man growing old and finally expiring. Life will never be the same. You will one day draw to an end. It doesn't seem so now. It doesn't seem so now. But it will. And when that time draws to an end, you would have God in your heart. Even if you are not successful, let me put it this way, at least you would have God in your heart. What will it profit? The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you could win the whole world, be successful with one degree after another, with one qualification after another, with one accolade after another, and lose your own soul, dear friend. It is for this reason that Solomon says, remember this God. Because one day, life will ebb out of you. The object of remembrance, the meaning of remembrance, the time of remembrance, the reason of remembrance. Let me close by saying that this is an opportunity for you as you graduate. It is an opportunity so that you do not join the masses who are chasing after the wind. This is an opportunity. If you can but graduate with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that will be a great blessing. But let me state also to those that may be parents or guardians. But you see, dear friend, we may have regrets that we did not use the youth, the time of youth, properly. But I want to put it this way to you. As was said earlier on, you may not reverse, you cannot reverse time. You cannot cry over spilled milk, continue crying over spilled milk. Today, Scripture says, when you hear His voice today, you must listen to this God. Today, dear friends, you can know His goodness. Yes, you have wasted your years of youth. Yes, I know you have regrets. But it is better to be late than never come to the Savior. Therefore, I end by saying to you also, remember your Creator, while you live.